And welcome everyone to another show. This time it's Adventures into Reality with your host, Andrew Bartzis, the Galactic Historian. We are on the Mega House BBSRadio.com station one. I am flanked by my intrepid co-host, Danielle Lynn, and my other one, Santi Espeliqueta. Welcome. How are you guys doing today?
We're doing
Full of
fantastic.
energy, just energy, energy, energy.
Yes, we've
Feeling
had a interesting week. We've had solar flares, Ebola scares presented as propaganda, and anything else that I can't figure out what to rhyme with. But we had a unique week. Yesterday, I did almost 7 hours of live radio, and I was able to record a very special moment with Danielle and Santi yesterday. And I want to thank both of them for being there for that. We try to present to our audience all the time, and some of the stuff that we're going to be coming out with is really special during these special times. And we are back to doing reading shows, as been requested by the audience over and over and over again. And I want to bring in Santi and Danielle to talk about how these reading shows are going to work, and then we're going to have our first reading.
Cool. The reading shows, the way that these are organized is we have something wonderful called the League of Consciousness Explorers. And on the League, we have a lot of really cool things, like we have a interactive message board and some archives, and League members are able to sign up to get readings and on these particular shows. Today you'll be hearing a couple League members who have signed up to get readings. And if you are interested, in getting a reading like this from Andrew, I encourage you to go to thegalactichistorian.com and click that join button in the upper right-hand corner. And you can sign up to be a League member. And once you've signed in to the League member page, you can immediately sign up to get a reading. That's how you can engage in this. Santi, do you have anything to add to that?
No, just gonna mention that Andrew has a lot of requests at this point, so he has a specific request when you do this when you request these readings, and just don't be discouraged. We're gonna be catching up little by little, but it's not gonna be necessary for everybody that they get a reading. Okay, so today we're starting with the first two, and we are very excited about it. So thank you, Andrew, for opening this door, this window.
And it's not a problem. And I want to thank everybody that's been a part of it and all those who did send their stories in. And I do want to say I read quite a few of them. And I want to thank those people. And if people want to change their format a little bit, there is something for a reading show. And these are going to be teachings, each of these people that come here. There are times that I've did so many readings and reading shows, 190 hours worth, and I covered a lot of subjects. But there's this time where you can get some special teachings. And that's what these shows are going to be about, a combination of galactic history. Some's going to be all readings. These people get an opportunity to come and ask their questions during a live show with a live audience, and me and doing the skills that I do well. Anyways, I'm ready to. Oh, just one more thing. We are going to be having in the middle of the show a special guest come on real quick, and he is going to be talking about tattoos, very special types of tattoos. Anyway, Santi, let's bring on the first person.
So, Jacob, the floor is yours.
Hello, everybody. Good evening.
Hey, Jacob, how you doing today?
I'm very well, thank you.
How did you find out about me?
I've been an avid listener of yours for quite some time and a consciousness explorer, and I'm glad I kind of ran into you.
What was the material that first grabbed you up from me?
I would say it was the galactic history and just your I can't pick anything in particular, but
Okay. So you've heard me do readings before, I take it.
absolutely, I found that to be some of your most valuable material.
So what angle do you want to go? You understand what I can do. You have the Akashic record of this world and 20,000 other worlds open to you. Any question? It's all a matter of understanding your context.
I do have several questions. I'd say they would all relate to a personal reading, of course. Mm-hmm. I would potentially like to share a story. I feel like I had kind of a defining moment in my life, or at least my young life. Mm-hmm. And I just wanted to maybe get some insight as to what that incident in my life was related to from a deeper Andrew Bartz's style perspective.
Okay.
And beyond about that one incident, I just wanted to get your standard AB reading, where I'm from, what I'm doing, that sort of thing, the kind of information you do on most people's reading.
Okay. You're called a Devarian. I've only met about 20, 22, 23 of you. You're a bird species, a very, very interesting bird species. You're caused like a psychic cog that could cross boundaries of galaxies and even universes. You're the type of person that binds with a mate for a very, very long period of a time. And you've heard your psychic cog, your own. And this is what is something that has disturbed your soul for a long time. And it's what led you to understand that you've been a part of jumping through time, realizing that you're not in the same body when you're supposed to be in the same body. And you've learned that this ka, your own psychic ka, is like a homing beacon that's guiding you to moments in history and time so that you're able to do a very specific mission that reconnects the mineral people with the smoke, with that of the prayers and the wisdom. It's a way to craft in the Neanderthal way something of stone and something of crystal so that the sacred heart technology is understood at the DNA level, and the conscious application of the sacred is the new way to go, for all other ways have been explored now and have led us away from the earth. And that's ultimately your position, to lead people back to earth. There's a great wisdom in your heart and a great wisdom in your mind. And that what happened to you as a child, there shall be no more tears from it, no more fears, no more limitations, and no more expectations, because that was the end of your time traveling wars. You graduated that. And to be a bird species that's graduated that, that means you can activate the psychic cause of many, many others out there. For those that have listened to me for some time before, you hear me talking about the great homing beacon that turns on in your head. And this person is an example of that. He just turned on his own homing beacon. Okay, do you have questions about this?
I was prepared to actually describe what my first 10 minutes of my morning was, so I was pleasantly surprised. You went right into my reading.
Mm-hmm.
And Devarian, you said?
Yep. Tell me about what happened. Tell me about what happened.
I'm going to need about 2 minutes or so to maybe go over this. It's not a long story, but I will maybe need 2 minutes to speak, so I'll begin now.
Go ahead.
About 10 years ago, March 2004, I was 18. I was late at night, and I was kind of driving aimlessly. I was in a bit of a state of despair. A cop car kind of stealthily was pulled up behind me, was following me for a bit. And he switched on his lights to kind of pull me over. And I don't know what I was thinking. Maybe he just kind of caught me off guard. But I ended up refusing to stop. I kept driving, and soon more and more police cars were now following me with the lights on and attempt to pull me over.
Mm-hmm.
Eventually, they ran me off the road, and although that didn't stop me either, so several of the police officers were now kind of in the area, began to fire at my car, and I was peppered with a few dozen bullets into the vehicle. As a miracle, I wasn't hit. I don't know how, but ballistic bullets, crazy amount of bullets out of the car, and yet a single one didn't seem to have hit me. My car was damaged and stopped soon after. I surrendered and I was arrested. I was interrogated for a while by a detective who was trying to pressure me into a confession that would have kind of justified their excessive force. I didn't give them that kind of confession. I was just like a scared teenage kid, you know, at the time. A detective came to my house the next day. I was charged and let off on bail. Detective came over and offered to buy the car from my father. In return, they said if he bought the car from us, the charges would be loosened and reduced, and if we cooperated, of course. Now, at the time, I was suffering a bit of PTSD and depression from the whole incident. I started seeing a psychiatrist. This became part of my defense. Mm-hmm. At this point, there were a few incidents of me being stalked and harassed by the local police, you know, relating to my infamy, I suppose. I explained this to a court-ordered mental assessment, and they took this as delusions of a schizophrenic, you know, that I'd been stalked or, you know, whatever by the police, when in fact, you know, there's witnesses, it was nothing delusional about it. They attempted to have me committed for a longer observational period of time. My family and I thought this was dangerous, and I made the decision to flee. So I snuck out of Canada, and I fled to the U.S., and from the U.S., I flew out of New York, and I flew to Europe, to my parents' home country. There, I spent some time voluntarily institutionalized to get some evidence to support my case that I wasn't crazy. I spent a few of my formative years traveling through Europe, doing things in Europe. Finally, I decided to return to Canada and face the music. I spent some time in free trial custody. I ended up pleading guilty to a few charges. Some charges were dropped. I received time served. I went on with my life, and I'm living quite fine from there. It was a bit of a shakeup in my life. It sort of derailed my normal plans for adulthood, but it set me on a path. I really can't regret what happened, as traumatic and everything as it may have been, as I don't think I would be here pursuing this level of consciousness exploration right now if it wasn't for all the things that were set in motion from that point forward. So that's kind of my story. And again, it goes back to March 2004, and I was just wondering, you know, what did I trip over?
Do you know what day? Do you know what day in March 2004?
I can't remember the specific date, but I'm feeling like it's 24th of March, but I could be completely mistaken.
Okay. The 4th of March is a very significant date.
It might have been the 4th of March as well.
Very, very significant. 2004. What do you remember about that history of that time?
I remember that I would say, lost. I feel I was completely... I just the word lost, I suppose, comes to mind.
Right. And what that is your psychic ka came through, and that psychic ka had a whole bunch of other things behind it.
Yes.
And one of the reasons I selected you is because of this. 2004. Some years ago, there was a great slaying of a great musician named Kurt Cobain. He was a timeline genocide victim that has triggered an entire paradox. The third paradox was triggered by the death of Kurt Cobain. And what that did is led a rebellion of musicians. And there were a whole bunch of musicians who figured out they were going to be really famous during the 60s and 70s and 80s. And all they had to do was figure out how to keep their ass alive during that time. And there was a timeline where the Janis Joplins, the Jimi Hendrix, the Beatles, all of them, they all lived, every single one of them. Not one of them was gone. And it would be in 2004 that they would have all been out on tour. And every single one of them had decided at that date that they were going to be broadcasting at the same time. It was like the oldies tour. All of the oldies in 2004 got for a legends tour. And simultaneously, in 126 countries, they had disclosure. And that's the day they killed the music. What does music mean to you?
don't know, an outlet, something to connect to a beat with.
It represents the beating of your wings, the beating of your heart, your connection to the earth. When music is killed, we go back to that primal call, that need for the mate, that need for that companion, that wisdom, that connectingness to the earth. And what you're asking out of this reading is a great connection, so that you're plugged in to your legacy. And your experience in the car, you could have stopped, but you know you couldn't at the same time. You know what I'm talking about?
Was there any kind of karmic resolution, whether it was consent or by...
No, there was another version of you who was erased in the day the music died. You would have been on stage with someone like, I think, a blues person. I don't know who this person is. But that signaled the end of the paradox, the beginning of the paradox. And this life you have now, one of the great things that were done is those that were a part of the day of disclosure, the system of karma hit really, really hard. And it made sure that you couldn't be musicians these lifetimes. You couldn't have that heart connection, that you had to go at a way that was going to be very, 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 very hard to get through, where you had to go into the deepest, highest points of the mind disconnected from the heart, and the highest points of the heart disconnected from the mind, through the dark nights of the soul, through thousands of lifetimes, until finally the power of your angelic presence, your photonic light being that's still anchored with the dream world, came through. And that's how your masculine, your shamanic masculine side, etched its way through the fire that made sure when you got pulled over and boxed in and the bullets were flying, that there was other versions of you had made another choice or another choice or another choice or another choice. So you were guided into that position so that you actually had the point in your life to create sacred space in your pericardium, the sac of fluid water around your heart, so that you can recycle those waters. And then once again, look at this world with clear eyes, not influenced by the pains of the old. When you went back and faced those charges, it was as if they were almost nothing to your real reality, because you had consciously manifested your reality and actually changed your reality. That is the power of the change that you went through.
Very fascinating.
So what I want to know, and I'm scanning through your records here just a second. I'm looking into the third, into the fourth paradox. I have never read anyone that's been around the day the music died. I've only mentioned it a few times on air. And there's a reason I do these types on air. There we go. In your seventh consecutive epoch, an epoch is the seventh rung of your DNA, in which for your first immigration into Earth. And your first immigration to Earth was 31 million years ago. You had been occupying Arcturian and Sirian animal frequencies. You had not incarnated as that physical incarnation, more like their versions of cats and dogs, their versions of soul assistant spirits. Though you could go back and forth in between them, you mainly chose more of an animal type form there. And the commonness of your soul is to maintain an animal relationships with a few dozen planets, and there's a series of breeding groups that you go through. And these breeding groups ask that you come and return every few million years to assist the next crew coming out, and then the next, and the next, and the next. And there's this big rotation of people whose souls return home and then escort new souls to their new planetary experience or to the new solar experience, so that they always have soul family to travel with. You have missed several of these because of your trapped here on Earth. And you have a great desire to leave this place. At the same time, you know you can't, because you have to finish something very, very important here. And I want to talk about what your purpose is here. What is your purpose?
Potentially to share the light with others.
What's the light?
I don't know. I think maybe self-healing, self-forgiveness, something to free others from their own crosses that they bear. I don't know.
That's all belief system you're talking there. What is the light?
I don't
that's,
know.
That's your that's your purpose. You have been betrayed by false light. That is the only way they could have killed the music. Have you heard me talk about false light before?
I believe so, yes.
False light technology that was brought to this world to start kicking people out of the astral world, because people weren't coming in because it was getting so bad, the incarnation and reincarnation grid here's wars, the worst that you could think about. Humans were the darkest ass people in the universe at that time. Why? Because there had been 30 million years of consecutive spiritual warfare and physical warfare, and we got really damn good at erasing planets. We got really, really good at it. And we got cocky, we got arrogant, and we got full of vanity. And then the kill shot came.
Was I involved in what you described now and before, which was in an attempt for, I guess, Earth to protect itself? We kind of flipped from light to bad in that process?
Yes, but it was a different version. There was the Crystal Cities. That was you're referring to? The Crystal War Cities?
I do recall you describing how Earth took a role in psychically erasing other planets in an attempt
yes.
to protect itself from invasion. Was I involved in that? Is that what you're describing?
No. You were involved in a different version of it. That was
okay.
That was just one example, but that type of warfare went on and on and on and on for a very long time. There was a particular thing where Earth was using unity consciousness as its ultimate resistance to the way free will was being used. There was this big push in the universe that was fresh free will to go in one direction and to break the uni mind. And Earth put all their power into the individual micros attached to the macro entity of Earth through elemental beings of creation, co-creation, and reality programming, which made Earth very, very different than every other planet in the universe. And as well as the 16 other universes. What you were able to do is scramble the perception of Earth. So you could create a time warp camouflage around Earth. And then you could make shadow Earths. And you could make it in such a way that beings that were trying to look through the camouflage could track these shadow Earths. And you would set time-space ripples to collect tens of thousands of different people who intended to use time travel for very nefarious purposes and send them to the void or to a vortex in between some other universes in which they had no chance to survive or no chance to have an existence. So you were what are called a surgical eraser, preventing timeline genocides from coming to Earth. And it was a very necessary position. And you were very, very good at it.
Was it necessary, or did I step out of, say, a neutral position into something more polarized I've made mistakes. I mean, that doesn't sound very.
Your soul had already long gone through that. This was at the end when your soul was done flipping between light and dark. Because you can be the dark and kill planets, and you can be the light and kill planets. And that's what Earth was proving, that you did not just have to choose light and dark. And that light and dark could work together. And that's what it was showing when what it was doing. And that spawned the third and fourth and fifth and sixth options of free will. You set yourself up in a karmic path by going to those extremes many times, both light and dark. At the end, you bound yourself to have to be until the end, because you erased so many individual experiences, and those each individual experiences that you erased had to be returned through a karmic reprisal. And there were lifetimes in which you could resolve large, large volumes of it, and there were other lifetimes you couldn't resolve anything. Do you understand what I'm saying there? Okay. Do you have any questions?
Is there anything in recent past lives of interest that you see maybe sticking out, out of curiosity?
Oh, 1880s. 1850s to 1880s. You were on a Spanish fishing vessel that was just fishing until one day they pulled something up out of the ocean that was very, very valuable, and you began selling it to different nobles, and what it turned out to be was pieces of a spaceship, actually. And there was quite a big need to get you there. That was your last one. And before that, let me look, 1800s, just lots of fishing. So that was the payoff of the fishing life. So let me go back one more epoch. So 1300. Still an agrarian. You spend like 800 years resolving all your agrarian issues from doing orbital bombardments on other planets. So you had to go back and be a farmer. And all those things that you helped farm back to life was resolving all of that karma. Let's go to about 2200 AD. It looks like we're on Antarctica. Let me see. What are you doing here? This is where you died. Track you back. Boat to Madagascar, Saudi Arabia, Mosul. You're part of the Library of Nivea exploration. This is from the
more general question that maybe you could also answer to the audience as well.
Sure.
I have. I'm just curious on a topic that, for instance, names. Do we have any kind of influence as a soul before we incarnate here or reincarnate? We have a name, and I feel like the name, your given name has a lot of importance, I've never been particularly crazy about my name. Again, Jacob, I'm just wondering, do I have a soul name? And if you can maybe...
Everyone has a soul name. And naming is a sacred process in which we go through our personal rites of passage to say, I do not need to use this slave name, which is your all capital letters name when you had your foot stamped. And when you want to change your name, you can change it to anything you want, but you don't record it. You don't go back to the system and say, that's my branded stamped name. It's important that you take it on as a spiritual thing and you let your straw man die. And the straw man is something that many, many people in this world are going to have to learn to listen, because it is a magical spell. Things that are in your pockets called Federal Reserve notes or whatever piece of money you have around them.
Would I be able to be filled in on my soul name, perhaps?
It isn't my purpose to give soul names. That's for you to search for, because only you are going to know what's your true signature frequency in a time like of the Great Dreamtime Awakening. It'd be like telling you, you know, all of the secrets before the game is over.
That's understandable. No problem.
Well, I have got to move on to the next segment here, though. This has been very, very exciting.
Well, thank you, Andrew. It was an amazing honor to actually have an opportunity to speak with you tonight.
You too. Thanks a lot. All right, we are going to be moving on, and we're going to be bringing Brian in right now.
Brian, line three, come on in.
What was that?
Is this Brian?
Hey, Andrew, yes, this is Brian.
Hey, Brian, how you doing today?
Feeling great.
Doing great. That's cool. Were you able to listen to the last caller?
Yes, I was.
What did you think of that?
Awesome. I was really into the conversation.
So we in the background, Brian has been working, has been doing tattoos, and Brian and I have had a series of really long conversations over those long periods of time. And I want to bring Brian in to talk about what a tattoo is. And we're going to be revealing a series and a special here with Brian about sacred tattoos. So, Brian, let's have a quick understanding of what type of tattooing you do.
I specialize in special, unique, sacred tattoos. Mm-hmm. That means something very special to someone, not just anybody. I specialize in black and gray tattoos, and I have a very good technique that I've been practicing for years since I've met Andrew, and we've been having a great connection of two different frequencies that make something very special that I've been working on, so I'm very excited about this.
Yeah, I've been sharing some of the sacred geometry sequences because people have been asking me for tattoo designs for many, many years. And when I met Brian, I recognized a master right away. And we've had a number of people here in the local area that have gotten these special tattoos, as well as henna. And we're going to be featuring Brian on the website here for people that want to be experienced in how to work with sacred stuff like henna and tattoos. We'll be further updating people. But Brian, why don't you tell people how you got into tattooing? What was your niche?
Well, Andrew, I've been, since I can remember, I've been drawing, been very artistic. That I was just born with it. Since I can remember, I've just been always drawing, got into painting a lot, canvas work, wall work. I studied in Mexico, a lot of different arts of cultures and arts and all types of new techniques to get the pure art that I work with. And I've traveled around Mexico from to Los Angeles, where I'm born, to Washington, to very different parts in the world.
And you've been traveling for a while. And when I had met you, I had identified, you know, just the unique person that you are. And for people that aren't into tattoos, there's something else that is called henna. And henna is a type of skin ink that can stay on for 7 to 10 days. In some scenarios, it can stay on longer. And Brian is quite familiar with henna, how to make it stay for a long time. And I had been working with a graphic artist before. And when I sat down with Brian, I needed someone who knew the body. I was doing a very special symbol to help a child to stay from possession. And it had to be on their skin. It was a 12-year-old child. And I had to make sure I balanced it just right. And that's when I realized I needed a resource for someone that a repository of a person that is able to do things like this. And this is why I want to bring Brian on. For those people that are looking for their special symbols, their special powers, there's a way to go into geometry. And Brian is a person that I'm going to be recommending that you see. I'm going to be featuring him on the website, and we're going to be doing interviews with him and talking about sacred geometry on the body. We're going to be talking about, you know, what it is to get a tattoo or to get henna on you and how that changes you. And we're going to be doing a really fun series.
Very excited about it.
Yeah, me too.
Great.
Santi, did you have anything to add in here?
What was that?
I'm seeing if Santi was still there.
Yeah, I'm absolutely here. I was just muted, Andrew. No, I'm just looking forward to the, you know, we had these sessions with Andrew, and I saw the beautiful job we actually filmed Brian was doing on one of the clients that he had at that time, and I really look forward to see what comes out of all this. Really, I'm learning. I have never been a tattoo person, but it's really attracts me to understand and enjoy what you're bringing on.
Hi.
I'm hearing somebody needs to mute. Anissa, you need to mute. Anissa, you need to mute your Skype.
I'm trying.
Okay. On the website, and we're going to be doing interviews with them and talking about sacred geometry on the body.
Twice the Andrew.
Yeah, twice
I like,
the Andrew.
I love
double
it.
Double the Andrew. Spearmint gum. Anyways, we are going to be doing the second reading here in just a second, but I want to thank both Danielle and Santi. I'm in the frequency to get this reading in, and then we're going to include something in the end. I'm going to do something a little special. It's what I call the stream read. For those people that have listened to these radio shows before, I usually do the stream read in the beginning, and I'm choosing to do it differently this time, and that's because we do get viewed by our past, present, and future selves, and we do have to learn to be unpredictable to ourselves, simply that so we don't fall into our own prediction scale, so that we are making known the unknown. So Anissa, go on and go ahead and unmute yourself, and we are going to have some fun.
I am so sorry about that, you guys.
It is okay. We call those on-air gremlins.
Oh, so sorry. And that was so fascinating with Brian and with Jacob both. So I really appreciated listening to that. Hi, everybody.
How are you doing today?
I'm doing well, thanks. I'm here in Portugal right now. And I wrote Andrew when he first offered on-air readings again, because I had spoken with him last fall and I was interested in following up on our conversation. And maybe Jacob is feeling this way this morning or tonight, your time, that it's a lot of information to take in, and it does take some time to integrate. And so that's what I've been doing over the last months. And that's where I am right now.
Okay, so you know how this works. Do you want to go right into asking the questions, or do you have something else that you would like to do?
No, I could go ahead and ask a question.
Sure.
I'd like to expand a little bit on my own soul's journey, and then I have a more general question that might be of help or of interest to some of your other listeners.
Okay.
Well, first of all, we discussed my history, my past, and you talked about some home worlds that I had lived in and originated from, and I was just wondering if you could tell me a little bit more about those places.
In the journey that you've taken since that reading to this moment,
mm-hmm.
what have you done to find those places?
Well, I don't know if it's been on a conscious level, but I feel like I've received some insights. And one of the most poignant moments I had was, and it's something maybe you could tell me if I'm if I'm onto something here, was a moment of insight about understanding that, you know, for some of us who are pretty empathic and giving, that can be pathologized here. And through therapy and self-work, I think we're often taught, you know, to build up barriers, get boundaries, find discernment. And that was definitely part of my journey here. But at one, I had a really special kind of insight moment several months ago, where I came to understand that it's not like that everywhere, and there are places where people give of themselves and give of themselves constantly, but everyone is doing that, so everyone's needs are met. And I was just wondering if that's a little bit of a hint as to the type of, as to my origins, maybe.
What I'm asking is, what have you done to, mm-hmm. to connect to those places? Have you done ceremony? Yeah. Have you done soul journeying? Have you done sun gazing and star gazing?
All of those things, yes. Yeah. That was an important part of our conversation, Andrew.
Exactly.
You took me to task on not living a ceremonial life, and by living a ceremonial life, finding more groundedness in my experience, and then finding the power to do what I'm here to do. Yeah. So, and that took a little while to sink into. So, yes, I've been doing all of those things, and I've had some really special moments looking up at the stars and at the sun.
The journey into those moments was your greatest soul's victory. Everything that you've done before is absolutely meaningless now, because we're entering the infinite and we're leaving the finite. We're leaving the hairball permanently. We're leaving the trenches permanently. And for us to come clean with our DNA, to be multidimensional beings, we can no longer have perverted attachments to what is or could have been. The mythical species, the shapeshifters, were removed from our species. And that was the great betrayal you experienced early in your soul, was not being able to be a shapeshifter.
Okay.
That's a fundamental rule that just on Earth, you didn't get that in your skin suit at the end. And now that you living this grounded life, the answer is in your DNA. Not just shape shifting, but your legacy of a multidimensional being that has just left the hairball, you know, has just taken their first shower and gotten a new shirt and thinking about sleeping in a bed. That's okay. How fresh it is for you. You got to take time and go deep into the next stage of reflection, where the shamanic you who has found the discipline of being disciplined. Mm-hmm. Where the fire meets water and creates steam. For you, that'll be the greatest spiritual locomotion. When you work with the fire, learn how to work with the smoke. When you work with steam, you are working with water and have an instantaneous access to infinite energy on the quanta and quantum level. And the only limitation you have is your perception of reality. When one is the master of fire and water and create a room of steam, this is not just a sweat lodge concept, but your own creation by hand in which you can go and be in a steam-based environment and have the proper resistance and the understanding of how to bond with that steam that is in your aura. Okay? In your aura. When you bond with the steam in your aura is where you'll be able to flush out tremendous volumes of aura toxins. We all have them. You have quite a bit of toxins still remaining in your gallbladder, in your left breast, in your left lymph node. This is stuff that you've taken from when you're sleeping over the last many years. There's a particular body position you take, and dense energies regularly settle into those areas. And it looks like it comes out the nose when you're dreaming. When I see this type of dense energy coming out of the nose, it's literally the smell of who you were living with and what you were doing at that time was causing a psychic irritation that your dream energy leaked out your nose and created this dense pool. And I think that's something you're going to really have to take a serious look at removing these dense energies. It's like a glacier. It takes a long time for it to melt away. So left shoulder, bottom of and inside of the left breast, you're going to have to really get in there and start massaging it and then do equal massage on the other side so that those lymph nodes can really start to create some chelation in the body and really recycle the water that's there, that's stuck in the different fat cell areas or in between the different bursa points in the muscles.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. So let's go with your next question. I'm tuning in deeper into the rites of passage that you're going through.
Okay. Well, part of it has to do then with a larger discussion about soul trauma and the impact of timeline genocide on our souls' histories, on our journeys. I think you've referred to this as soul sickness.
Soul shock, soul sickness, post-traumatic yeah. soul disorder. Yeah. It comes on many names and everyone connects to it viscerally in a different way. And so many of our population suffer from it. We are simultaneously existing on four paradox timelines and we're on the fifth. People get confused about that, but what timeline genocide is they come in and they erase your ancestors, they erase your elemental connection to the planet, and they erase the people, your ability to have an incarnation grid. You have no connection to the planet, and there's no astral world, never existed. Oh. And that planet is barren. And that is a shock to us because we are sharing a sovereign reality with us, and the planet was unable to protect even us.
Yeah.
That is the betrayal level that the universe, even the universal beings, did not stop this travesty because we had just gone from non-free will to free will. We started with this judgment, and this judgment led us to do more timeline genocides after we had gotten our planet, our timeline back and finished the first creational event again, after we uncreated the event. And all the prime creators of the universe settled on Earth and say, we better resolve this quick because something else is going to happen. And just as everything was done, we did it a second time, a third time. And then the prime creators got really, really, really angry and showed they had free will too. Timeline genocide is something that affects people on the highest level and the lowest level. Soul shock and soul trauma is when us micro beings are on a world and that world goes through the end of times, whatever format it is, from orbital bombardment, earthquakes, asteroids, plague, war, spiritual invasion, all of that. That's an individual shock and trauma. And the vast majority of the people in our world have soul shock, soul trauma, about 75%. Have it at such a high degree because they were here on the planet experiencing the chaos of destruction and the loss of unity and heart, the disconnection from the planet and the reconnection into vengeance and anger, and seeing the children of the children of the children of the children be redirected into vicious beings of vengeance, parading as beings of light. Mm-hmm. That's what timeline genocide, that's what soul shock is about. It's about that all being in your mind and you have no way to say it anything other than call it the shadow. And we as human beings live with the shadow and we must learn to speak with it and talk with it and make it a part of us, but never give power to it. For it is what we needed to survive in timeline genocide, and it is something that we created because we knew we had to make it to the end so that we could save countless trillions of others. because 500 trillion of us volunteered via soul contract to be in unawareness and resolve karma for all the uncreational events we created in unity. Soul chalk at the highest level is what those 500 trillion beings had to do to make it down to us, roughly 50 billion that actually made it to the end. That's how many couldn't do it. That's why we are the best of the best of the best in this graduation.
What happened to those who didn't make it?
They became extinct. And this is called the mythic wars, when people could not accept that shape-shifting wasn't going to be allowed. And that's where the dragons, the unicorns, the elves, the dwarves, and everything else you want to call it that doesn't look human, that doesn't have the residual image like we all do now, that is when they had to make a choice to stand up, and that was called the Mahabharata. It has many different forms because it was on all timelines and dimensions, because that's what those beings are, multidimensional beings. And they're taking our multidimensional side away from us. And so many beings live to the very end of a DNA lineage, the very last of the last, no chance for it ever coming back, and it is extinct. When it is extinct, it can no longer extend contracts to the planet, and the planet takes it into its core, hollow Earth, and downloads the entire lineage into there, and then makes a infinite sacred space inside there for those beings who want to live in extinction in the center of Earth until the timeline graduation comes. And then the graduation timeline can go, and those that are in extinction can resolve their karma or their extinction event at the end. So all the mythics and dragons and unicorns that are in human bodies that wanted to be here at the end, they're here, but they're not in the bodies that they want. And that's how they had to finally deal with the system. And that's why so many aren't here. They chose to stay in a hollow Earth. And then when we pass the torch of eldership on, they go into extinction. They chose the end of their soul spark. So they will migrate to another galaxy or universe and start over. But their light body will retain a macro code of everything that they did up until that point.
So it's really not extinction in the big
it's
picture.
It's an epoch.
And, okay. Mm-hmm.
And they go all the way to the end until they are a void entity, until their immigration papers is to come back in on an unawareness. They're still choosing karmic resolution. They're not choosing the fullness of free will. They want to be with the flow of the great mystery. They want to be connected to the universe, not in free will. Mm-hmm. That's the other part of the mythics. And it's tough for people to understand, why would they not want to be free willed? Because they want to help the rest of the universe, and being connected to the divine universal source at all times, in all frequencies, in all ways, and still being a sovereign being yourself, allows for great wonders to happen in this world. And there is a way for free will to interact with those beings, but domination and control prevented us from even creating language so we could work together. Mm-hmm. It took the science fiction and fantasy writers of our days to make sure they had a place in our timeline graduation. Imagine if there weren't fantasy writers out there or sci-fi writers out there, that they had decided in the 1930s to change it.
Right.
Would we be here today? So what other kind of questions do you have?
Well, of course you just triggered a lot more questions.
As usual,
you know, that I have about myself. I mean, I really did want to know about my other existences and what those experiences look like. But I can put that on hold.
Go ahead.
Oh, okay. Something that's really been kind of pressing for me is an early call I heard in your Adventures in Reality program. It was from the spring of 2013, and it really resonated. It was a powerful conversation you had with a caller in the Netherlands who had smoked DMT the night before he called in. You, in the reading, explained that the DMT helped facilitate a state of consciousness that he was once able to obtain shamanically. And I think he was one of, he was an earth founder. It was a great reading, and I've never been able to find it again in the archives. But it stuck with me, and it made me just think about, I think a lot of us consider psychedelics to be part of our consciousness exploration toolkits, and they also seem to be a big part of movements working toward a new paradigm, new ways of living, permaculture, all of those things. The festival I'm at here in Portugal right now is one that's kind of geared toward those growing communities. So I'm just wondering what you can tell us about using those as to facilitate consciousness exploration.
Absolutely, I advise people to consider it.
Okay.
But you have to know what you're doing and the person that you are, and you must understand it must be sacred and not recreational.
Absolutely.
When you take those simple words, and then you realize that you have to be a ceremonial person so you can make something sacred, and when you make that choice, my answer is yes. And people ask me, what is the best to start with? Marijuana. And if you're one of those people that doesn't like to smoke it, eat it before you go to sleep. And if you're one of those that says, I can't do that, well, then what can you do? Peyote? Mushrooms? LSD? That's your choice, what you're going to do. And it's you. But if you make it recreational, you will fail. And you will not get what you want. And you may not get something you don't want. It's important to make it sacred and to make it a pilgrimage so you clean yourself out. If you go into a ceremony with all the junk left in you, where does it go? All over the shamans and all the other people that are around you. Because you have no skills or techniques to let go of it. That's why I tell people to tell their story to their fire. It's why I tell people to do ceremony so that you can do your own energy cleanliness, just like taking a shower or a bath. And it can be quite easy when you become practiced at it and make it a part of your daily life. It's just like sweeping the floor, taking out the trash. You know, it's not that hard to do, but you have to make sure you do it on a regular basis. And pilgrimaging, that's the next thing. Santi, I was just going to, what's going on here?
Yeah, it looks that we're expecting to have a little bit more than the hour, but it looks like it might not be the case. We've been surprised here.
I see that there. All right, so we've got to go ahead and end the show. Anissa, thank you very, very much. Brian, thank you much. Everyone at BBS Radio, Danielle, Santi, this has been another amazing, exciting show, Adventures in the Reality. And look forward for us in 2 weeks. We'll be doing another reading show. And Danielle, Santi, any last words?
Oh, yes. I would love to invite people to go to galactichistorian.com. On our store page, we have a brand new recording that's never been aired. And this is about the spiritual healing power of food. I mean, this is an incredible recording. Andrew and I did it together. You can go listen to an excerpt of it as well. So just head to galactichistorian.com and click on the store button. It's just really incredible. We want to share that with you. Santi? Oh, Santi's muted. Andrew?
thank you, everyone out there, and everyone at BBS Radio. You guys are absolutely amazing. Amazing crew over there. All right, everyone. It's been an incredible show.
Thank you.